invite Dan one last time to preach for us, and I hope that he comes back soon to visit. As Ben mentioned, we also have board games tonight and a dinner, so please stay for that.
Happy Sabbath. So let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful Sabbath day. Thank you for this weather. Thank you for friends' relationship. And we pray that you inspire us. Just have this sermon be your words and not mine. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So in Vietnamese service, I think the sermon was 30 minutes, so this may be 15 minutes. So if you like short sermons, this might be it. So as most everybody knows here, I'm moving to Vancouver and I'm leaving beautiful California. One of the things I'm going to miss most is surfing with several of you guys. This is Huntington Beach. Probably one of my most favorite places in California is Big Sur. So Big Sur is about 4 hours north of here. And I've been camping with several of you guys. My other very key memory is Mount Whitney for different reasons. First off, this is from 13,000 feet. The memories are almost dying of altitude and figuring out how to go to the bathroom. For some reason, that's gonna be my key memories, but it's just beautiful. God creates this very interesting climates in California. Now, one of the things I won't miss, as you guys know, I go to the farmer's market every Sunday. It's even to the point where like I know the farmers by first name. And in Vancouver, for about 9 months, you get beets and potatoes and sunchokes. And after a while, you get kind of tired of that. So in California, we're really blessed to have different types of foods year round. Now, one of the things I won't miss is 405 traffic. Or even when you drive home at church from the 605 for me, I'm like, I don't know why there's random slowing around Bellflower and there's no accident. And it's kind of aggravating. That's one of the things I won't miss. One thing in particular I won't miss is traveling before Thanksgiving Eve or any holidays where our parking lots basically become Christmas lights. Some of you know in Vancouver, one of the things that I will be needing is an umbrella on a near daily basis for about 9 months. But kind of the flip side is there's really good maple syrup, which I'll bring some home when I come back. I have to learn about hockey. I've been learning about it. It's still pretty confusing to me. There's like power plays and all these interesting things. But in Vancouver also, there's great hiking, and I hope you guys come up to visit. We'll start head out. But in Vancouver and US, there's, you know, some things are kind of the same. So in the US, we have REI. In Vancouver, you have MEC. And here we have it's reversed. Here we have Vons, and there they have Safeways. Here we have fake Aunt Jemima, and there's real maple syrup. Now, one of the things that I'm doing is I'm moving everything up in three boxes. So my entire life is in three 70-pound boxes, 20 square inches, so I don't get penalized by the airline when I fly up. And as I've been going through each item, I watched Marie Kondo's Tidying Up a while ago, and it's like, does this spark joy? Does this spark joy? So I'm like, does this spark joy, and does this fit in the box? It's basically the two questions I asked myself these past 3 weeks. But really, one of the things, so moving is probably one of the most stressful things, and I'm sure many of you guys have moved before. It kind of like Vong's moved things in a trailer. It makes you reflect on what's really important. Now, at church, there's been so many memories from different times. We saw the slides earlier. This is just a subset. Things such as community service. On the top left is the buses that break down in 100-degree weather. That was character building. The trip was good. That was a little rough. There's been a lot of great hikes, great food, and I think we all together learned how to cook a lot of Vietnamese food. Like in the top bottom right is bun lock, or what I like to call like burgers, but they're very good. Now, out of all these memories in the church that I've had with several of you guys, one sticks out from 20 years ago. Now, kind of some histories. I came from this church when I was 13, and I was kind of only marginally invited. Now, I've said this story before, but when I was younger, I went to church and I immediately left and never went to potluck. And I remember actually it was Ben who was inviting me to stay, and he actually kept asking me, and he actually didn't give up. And one of the days I said yes, and then I asked my family, it's like, why don't we stay? So when I started volunteering for small tasks here and there, there's one task, actually. When I look at all the memories, one task in particular 20 years ago changed my life and the direction I would head. So it was creating a PowerPoint. Pastor Vian asked me one day when I started attending the churches, can you make a PowerPoint for me? This was back then when it was a little more complicated when we had to use Photoshop. But it's really not that hard to make, but this memory in particular sticks out to me. And you might ask, it's just a slide. Why does it even matter? But for me, it marked the beginning of mission. Now, if we can open our Bibles to Mark 1:16, and you can say amen when you're there. So Mark 1:16, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. Now, if you kind of think about the situation, Peter and Andrew are minding their own business fishing. Then Jesus comes around and asks them to follow them, right? So in the perspective of Peter and Andrew, most likely, we can assume that they knew a little bit about Jesus before. They may have heard about him, but at one point in time, they were asked a game time decision. So that game time decision is, do you want to follow me? And there are only two answers you can do. You can say yes, or you can say no. Now, let me ask you, when that opportunity comes for you to help out, are you going to say yes or no? Who here has been on a cruise before? Okay, so quite a few. I actually have not been on a cruise. So I was looking at the Princess Cruise website. And some of the amenities here have included dining. And with the dining, I guess the food is free that comes with the cruise and the price of it. And there's lots of restaurants and I guess perhaps room service, not sure if that's extra charge. So on the website also, it talks about where there's shops, there's art galleries, there's sports courts, there's pools, and you can take photos, I guess, to post on your Instagram afterwards. The last of the amenities are entertainment, music, and dancing. Now, let me ask you, what do you worry about on a cruise ship? Is it just the next show to book? The next restaurant to eat? On a cruise ship, you really don't worry about much, and it's relaxing, right? Now, let me ask you a question. If I gave you a cruise ticket to go once a year, would you go? Yeah. Okay, you either are quiet or So if I gave each one of you a ticket to go on a cruise once a year, I'm assuming you generally would say yes. It's a free ticket. Yeah. Okay. Now, if I give you a cruise ship ticket to go every month, would you go? Okay, so yes and no. If I give you a cruise ship ticket to go every week, would you go?
Yes.
These responses are totally different than Vietnamese servers. Now, cruise ships are fun and we can relax, but if we went on it every week, we kind of change. What would happen is on a cruise ship is instead of it being about other people, it's about you. It's about people servicing you, so people making you happy. It's about all about you. Now, in contrast this, this contrasts this with the battleship. So I know some of you were in the services before, but a battleship has a specific mission to accomplish. Now, when the disaster in Haiti happens, we send out battleships to deliver aid. And inside there's a specific objective for those battleships to help those people there. Now, in a battleship, everyone in a crew has a purpose. This is an old manifest of the USS Missouri. But every role is important down to the janitor. And each role requires training. So if I was a navigator and I asked Hung to be a navigator and he has no skills, I would be a little bit afraid of how this ship steers, right? So the thing for Hung to be successful is he would need to have skills and training in order to do that role. Now, let me ask you, what kind of ship are you on? Are you on a cruise ship or on a battleship? So if you're in a cruise ship, sometimes at church we act like we're in a cruise ship where we ask other people to fill our spiritual cup. You might say, "Ah, oh, Pastor Vin's sermon was 45 minutes this week." It's like, "Oh, Pastor Vin's sermon was an hour and 15 this week." Well, then the thing here is when we're in a cruise ship mentality, what we do is we complain about the food, we complain about the service, but we don't do anything about it. But on a mission, instead, you're helping other people and you're driving the direction of the church. Now, don't get me wrong, cruise ships are good on an occasional basis. But if we treat church as a cruise ship every week, then we internally change to have a habit where it's all about me. I need you to fill my spiritual cup. I need your sermon to be better to fill my spiritual life. And when we change that mentality a little bit, then our lives change also. So mission consists of three things. It consists of opportunity, skills, and saying yes. If we kind of look back at Peter's story, Peter was given, who gave the opportunity for Peter in that story? It was Jesus himself, right? Now, did he say yes or no? Said yes. I know many of you in church here are running many things, and I would encourage the leaders here is to help let go a little bit. What I mean is if running Sabbath school for 5 years or doing AV for 5 years or collecting offering for a couple years, that you help encourage other people to fill your role a little bit. Now, what happens here, I know everybody here is pretty much participates, but I think a goal for this service is to have 100% participation. I think almost everyone, as I look around, is about, you know, pretty involved in church. But to invite those that maybe don't come to church every week to help, just like help out for minor things. Now, when we create opportunities for others, what's going to happen is service is going to break a little bit. So if we ask somebody new to do the AV, somebody might not change the slide. So one of the things I said in Vietnamese service is if our English potluck, if we were to do all of potluck, meaning Vietnamese had zero dishes, how would it turn out right now? So, mac and cheese. Mac and cheese is fine. I told them the worst thing that would happen is we would go on a fast for 1 week or eat many dishes of mac and cheese or spaghetti and marinara sauce. But the thing here is, unless we step outside our comfort zone and we do things we're not accustomed to, we're not going to create these opportunities for the rest of the church. Now, let me ask another question. Was Jesus a mentor?
Yes.
Let's open our Bibles to Acts 1, 1 to 1, 3. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven and after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Okay, so beginning of Acts, and this is, we've probably read this many times, but let's kind of reflect back the story of Jesus. So Jesus came to earth and he was crucified. But if you read this, he actually came back afterwards. It's kind of like, have you guys ever watched Lord of the Rings? And then the movie ends, but then these scenes keep coming afterwards. And you're like, when does this movie end? But that last scene was really important that they had. This is the same thing about the gospel. We kind of overlook sometimes, after Jesus got crucified, he came back to earth. To me, this is completely mind-blowing here. Does this mean that the disciples were ready?
No?
Yes? So, the disciples were with Jesus for a couple years. But then afterwards, Jesus came back to mentor them for 40 days. So this means that Jesus was not, that means the disciples were not ready to handle the gospel because Jesus had to come back, right? Can you imagine that? It's kind of like saying you're going on PTO for your work and then you fly out to Amsterdam. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, sorry, work is still broken. You have to fly back, right? And you're like, what? To fly back. But the thing here is Jesus cares so much about his disciples, he came back to earth. After being crucified and going through all that, I would want to relax and not worry about it, right? You just like went through this entire ordeal, like the most crazy thing in the entire universe, and you have to come back to earth. I'd be like, what's up, guys? And wasn't I here long enough to help you out? But Jesus is a caring God. He cares so much that this mentorship example is one that we should take model of as we have our young people. Now, let's open our Bibles to Jonah. So Jonah 1:1. So the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because of its wickedness has come before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. And he went down to Joppa where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Now, sorry, I want to walk around, but I'm kind of tethered to this thing. We all know the story of Jonah. It's about 2 pages. You can read it in less time than a Hulu commercial. But the thing here is, in Jonah, we really focus on kind of the story of Jonah getting swallowed up by a whale or big fish and getting ejected from it. But inside the beginning of Jonah, was he given an opportunity? Did he say yes or no? Now, the analogy here is if you look at an ancient biblical map, imagine Jonah was here in El Monte and God asked Jonah to preach in New York, right? So you should be flying east. Instead, the analogy is Jonah flew to Vietnam. These places are totally different from each other. Inside here, as a quick review, Jonah's mission was to go to Nineveh, but he first failed in the mission. So let's open to Jonah 2, verse 9. And at this point, Jonah is in the whale. And it says, "But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah unto dry land." Now, what's pretty awesome here is when God gives us opportunity, sometimes we initially say no. But afterwards, but God is a merciful God, and here Jonah has a second chance, so he got vomited out. Now, let's fast forward a little bit to Jonah 3, verses 1 to 3. And it says, Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim it to the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Now, he's given a second chance to proclaim the message, and he starts preaching throughout Nineveh. Let's fast forward to verse 10. In verse 10, it says, "When God saw what they did and how they turned from the evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened." In the story of Jonah, as a kid, everybody knows there's like that toy Jonah whale, and all of the Bible children's books all focus on the whale. Well, for me, it was the whale because it was kind of the weirdest thing in the story, really. But that was not really the point of the story. The point of the story is, what was Jonah's mission? To preach the gospel. First, he is kind of like these superhero movies. The superhero fails in the beginning and then has a second chance. So the first time, he says no, he gets swallowed by a whale, he gets ejected. And second time, he says yes, right? Now, what happened to the city of Nineveh? Did it get destroyed or not? Now, what's interesting is the impact of Jonah in the Bible around 2,000 years ago has resonance to us today. If you open Google Maps on your phone, you don't have to do it right now, but after church, if you want to find Nineveh, what you do in Google Maps, you type in Mosul, Iraq, because the city of Nineveh still stands today. And the reason the city still stands today is because of the actions of Jonah. If you kind of think about it, it's an amazing thing in terms of archaeology and in terms of history that a mission given to Jonah many, many thousands of years ago has an impact where this city still exists today. Although the city has problems with our modern-day terrorism, it's still a miracle where you can match something you read in the Bible to current-day events, archaeology, and locations. Now, let me ask you, what kind of ship was Jonah on? Was he on a cruise ship or in a battleship? So his journey was definitely not relaxing. If you're on a cruise ship, you definitely would not get swallowed by a whale, first off. That would be a bad day. There would be one star in Yelp if you had to do that. But he was on a battleship, and in his battleship had several types of challenges. But at the end of the day, he came out on top, even though he complained at the end of the book, but that's a different sermon. Now, on a battleship, there are a couple key things which all members of the crew need to have characteristics of. And the first one is, are you willing to submit to a higher authority? One of the things that's a danger in Christian worship is we sometimes tend to worship people, whether it's David Asherick, Pastor Vin, a worship leader, the English worship leader, the elders. The thing here is the ultimate authority is Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ, because he came here as perfection, he's the ultimate model we can look up to. The second thing is, are you willing to provide opportunity for others? As I mentioned, that this church is a pretty high impact where everyone is involved in church, but there may be some others who are not quite involved yet. And are you willing to provide others to help out with that? Lastly, are you willing to say yes? when the Holy Spirit gives you opportunity, you have always the option to say yes or no. Now, before I leave, I want to ask you a question. Are you in a cruise ship or battleship at church? Now, let's rewind back 23 years. So 23 years ago, when technology was notably older, I was working in that PowerPoint. But since then, a lot of awesome things have happened. And as I pack and leave to Vancouver, I kind of wondered how these things happened. So it started off by someone asked, would you like to create a PowerPoint slide? Would you like to play the music in the church because we no longer want to hear MIDI files? Would you like to teach Sabbath school? Would you like to participate in an Amen clinic? Would you like to join the church board? Would you like to run a homeless food shift? Would you like to help out in Pathway to Health? When I look back and all the things that was given to me as opportunity, it was because of not my skills, but it was because Jesus had an opportunity and he asked, would you like to do it? And at every point in everything here, the reason why it happened is, did I want to say yes or no? And all these awesome things happened all because the opportunity Jesus gave and because I said yes. So as a reminder, mission is opportunity plus skills plus yes. And lastly, I'd like everyone to open to Matthew 28:19. So this is a pretty famous verse. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit. I know at church we talk a lot about mission. Where is our church going? What direction? But if you reflect on the global mission of what Jesus wants us to do, you always can go back to this. And the answer would be always to spread the gospel. I regret to inform you I'm leaving the mission of this church and that I'm joining another ship in Vancouver. And of course, I'm going to miss you guys. But I want to ask you one last time, as you drive to church, and sometimes you're stuck in traffic, which is almost all the time, and you arrive in church and you say, Happy Sabbath, as you walk through these doors here, I want you to ask yourself every week, are you on a cruise ship or a battleship? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for the many opportunities this church has provided. Just pray for special blessings for each person in this church as they find their mission. We ask that you rekindle the Holy Spirit for each one of us and pray that especially be with the mission of the El Monte Church, especially with the board and the leadership. Continue to have blessings to this church and their warmth and friendship. And pray in Jesus' name, amen.